Good morning. You don't have to acknowledge, but I want you to all think back, especially those of you who are maybe older, that might remember last chance road signs. Remember the last chance road signs, last chance for gas, last chance for food, you know, last chance for this, last chance to see this attraction. Route 66 had a lot of last chance signs. Those of you who remember, and I looked on the internet, you can even now today get your own authentic Route 66 last chance sign for your den or your base, whatever you want to put them. And you can even have them personalized. Your authentic last chance Route 66 signs. I don't see a whole lot of those anymore, it doesn't seem like. I suppose there's still some out there. When I was a kid, I had relatives in Colorado and relatives in Arizona. So we headed west every now and then. And I remember seeing them when I was a kid. I don't recently remember seeing a whole lot of them anymore. I think they might have mostly gone by the wayside. I'm not sure. However, we're still bombarded with the last chance mentality, right? How many of you take magazines? Stop and think about a magazine. When you get an issue of a magazine, does it come with a renewal subscription thing? Last chance to get it for this price. I take Reader's Digest, and I still enjoy reading it. I'm getting a little more liberal, I think. I don't know if I'm going to keep taking it very long, but it still has good articles in it, and I still enjoy reading it. But every issue that comes every 2 months, used to come every month, comes every 2 months now, used to be about yay thick, now it's about yay thick, but there's still some good articles in there, but everyone comes with coupons that say, last chance to offer this gift subscription at this price. You know, last chance to subscribe to Reader's Digest condensed books at this price. Last chance to get the Reader's Digest Guide to Homeowner Repair at this price. So we've still got the last chance mentality. We're still kind of bombarded with that. And it's also the news the other night here a while back said, tonight is your last chance to buy that $1.5 billion lottery ticket. You know, you got to get it tonight. It's your last chance. It may never be that big. It's the biggest it's ever been. It may never be that big again. This is your last chance. And how many last chances do we think about when we think of maybe business investments or sales at stores, last chance to get this at this particular price? It doesn't seem to be me like we've got that much last chance mentality when it comes to first or second chances. I know especially in school, we seem to be wanting to gravitate more towards second, third, fourth chances. I know in the schools you can retake a test. You know, my granddaughters tell me about if they flunk a test, they can retake it. When I was in school, I remember we didn't retake tests. You flunked it, you flunked it. And we had the teachers would say, now, we're going to have a test on Friday, so study this material. And we would let it go all week, and then Thursday night we'd cram, and we'd take that test. I remember we had a geometry teacher when I was in school, and she didn't announce her tests. And you'd come to class one day, and she'd hand out the test. I remember the first time she did that, there were girls in the class crying because they were so upset because they didn't get a chance to study for it. I don't want to use the word hate. We all intensely dislike that. But I will say this, it kept us on our toes. You had to be ready. You had to be ready. Remember that phrase. We're going to come back to that. You had to be ready. And so maybe it wasn't all a bad thing. It sure caused a lot of distress though and angst. It wasn't very comforting. But we're becoming more and more of a second chance society rather than last chance society. I know there's probably prisoners that wish they had a second chance. There's probably people lost in business investments, wish they had a second chance. A lot of people that maybe made the wrong decision at a stop sign and got hurt in a car wreck, I think they're probably wishing for a second chance. You know, many times God gave second chance. Many times God didn't. You look back at Korah, for example. There was no second chance there. And you look back at Ananias and Sapphira. There was no second chance there. And how many times did God immediately punish the Israelites for disobeying him? There wasn't many, there wasn't second chances there. But a lot of times he relented, didn't he? And you take a look at Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, he got second chance. And Peter, look at all the times he messed up. And, he stayed okay. Nobody killed him. But I've always, my view of it is, it seems to me like there wouldn't be as many first times as if there weren't so many second chances. I remember when, I've related this story before, but I remember when I was in junior high, I was 12 or 13 years old probably. And they built a new high V across the street from junior high, and it was on a high bank. And it was just perfect for lobbing snowballs down onto the playground, on the school grounds. And there were six or eight of us that decided we were going to do that, and the results ended up being in the principal's office, being asked to bend over and grab our ankles. And I want to tell you, the first swat hurts, and the second swat hurts more, and the third swat hurts even more. And it makes an impression on you, both mentally and physically. And I decided at that time that I didn't want that anymore. And I didn't get into trouble from then on through school because I didn't want that. It was unpleasant. And that's a case where the first time chance caused some good immediate results. That it doesn't always happen. But that second chance mentality has bled over into the spiritual world too. You know, how many times do you hear people preaching the rapture or the millennial reign? There's a guy I worked with that he was a younger guy and he just got married and he decided he was going to be more religious and lead a better life. So he decided he would also, as far as going back to church, in addition to that, he would take a theology course. So he was studying his theology and I came to work one day and he looked at me and he says, you know, Mikey, he says, I've been reading the scriptures here and I really just don't think there's going to be a rapture. And the theology course was teaching him there was going to be, but in reading the verses and reading the scripture, he said, I decided there wasn't really going to be a rapture. And I said, I agree with you, Frankie. I don't think there's going to be a rapture either. But we have scripture that negates the idea of a second chance. Even though our society is gravitating more toward that, it feels good. It's comforting. It's less, makes us less anxious, I suppose, to think of that second chance. But scriptures just don't bear that out. I'd like to start with Hebrews 9. Verse 27, and the context of this is Christ being compared to the priest and says if he's like the priest, he was going to have to die over and over again. If we go to 26, it says, then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but he's appeared once for all and he sacrificed himself once for all. And then the 27th verse, it says, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once. Just as man is to die once, then the judgment. There's nothing in between. You know, if there was going to be a second chance or a left behind thing, you know, that left behind series, I read that left behind book. It was, it was a good read, I suppose. Easy to read, and very, very popular. And I think it's that second chance comforting thought that people like. But it doesn't say here that there's going to be anything in between. It says death, then judgment. There's nothing in between there. I'd like to go to Matthew 16 and 27. Matthew 16 and 27, which says, for the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels. Now, what else can that be but the second coming of Christ? I mean, His first coming wasn't with angels. Yeah, I mean, well, I guess you could say it was kind of, sort of. But this says, for the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done. He will reward each person, dead, alive, good, or bad. He will reward each person according to what he has done. Now let's go to John 5. John 5, verses 28 and 29. And it says, do not be amazed at this, for the time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Okay, the time is coming when all the people in the graves will hear His voice. He's going to come with a shout, right? He's going to come with a trumpet sound. People are going to hear it. And then they'll come out of their graves and rise to live or rise to be condemned. Judgment right away. Nothing in between. And in Luke 16, we're related the story of Lazarus and the rich man. You remember how that goes. Now there's a lot of, I've heard a lot of talk on that passage that is just a fable and just a story told. But these things are told, I mean, the scripture is given for our learning, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. It's given for our learning. That little passage is in there for our learning. And we all know that passage, don't we? What did the rich man say? You know, what do you want? He wanted Abraham to do something. Tell Lazarus to come cool my tongue. For what did he say? For I am tormented in this flame? No, you can't. He knew what was going on. He knew. He wanted Abraham to fix it here. And then what did he say? Go tell my brothers. Right? Go tell my brothers about this, so they don't have to endure this. And Abraham says, well, they've got the scripture, so that won't do much good. But the rich man was judged at death. And what did Christ say to the thief on the cross? Today, thou wilt be with me in paradise. Today, thou wilt be with me in paradise. We're judged at death. We're sentenced on judgment day. But we are not promised a second chance. It feels good. It's comforting. But it denies what the scripture has to say. It takes the urgency out of obeying the will of my Father. I've got a second chance. I can wait. There's, you know, I've got time. I gave a sermon one time about the devil and his minions. And one of the minion came and he says, I'll convince him there's no God. And the devil says, that won't work. And then he says, I'll convince him something else. And then the last minion came to him and says, I'll convince the people they have a lot of time. I'll convince them that they've got time. And the devil says, you go and do it. And that's the second chance mentality. Kind of leads you to believe maybe that there'll be plenty of time. You know, I've got the second. And if something happens, I've got a second chance. But it denies what the Bible says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. First Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, right now, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised. And then let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Brethren, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Those should be familiar passages to us. We've the twinkling of an eye thing, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We've read those verses before. We're familiar with those verses. I want to point out it says in the 18th here, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other, you know, encourage each other to do the right thing. Encourage each other to be ready. Encourage each other to do what's right. This is our last chance. If I had to title this talk, I'd title it, "This is Your Last Chance." This is the last chance. It's in that, like in that geometry class, you gotta be ready. You won't get a second chance. You have to be ready. And how much infinitely more important is eternity than anything else? Infinitely more important. We want to get to heaven. We know that. You know, as I was going over this talk this morning, I got down to about this point and it hit me that I'm not telling you anything new here. You know, we know these things. I related the story about going to church at the Folly Road Church of Christ in South Carolina. The title of that sermon that morning, and I won't forget that. It was a really good one. But the title of that sermon was "Reminding You of Things You Already Know." And it was an excellent sermon. Well, this is kind of like that. Reminding you of things you already know. You know, we know there's no second chance. We know we need to seek first the kingdom of God, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, we know what the Bible tells us to do. But we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. We know what heaven is described as. We know we can't understand it fully. But we have some description that's going to be really something great. We also know what the description of hell is, right? Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Think of the last time you hurt so bad you gritted your teeth together. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, darkness, separation from God. That's hell. You know, we know that. We've read that. We don't want that. We know what to do. Obey the will of my Father. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Seek righteousness. Seek first the kingdom. And on down through what the Bible tells us to do. Matthew 24 and 42 says, we know not the hour. We know not the day. We don't know when the Lord's going to come. We have to be ready. We can't pass up that last chance stop sign, that last chance sign. We can't ignore it and drive right on past it. We have to stop and acknowledge it because there's no alternative. What alternative do we have? There isn't one. This life is our last chance. We need to do what God wants us to do because eternity depends on it. We have to make this life count. This is a reminder. We know these things. We get caught up in daily life. we get caught up, and even me being retired, I still get busy with things, and my mind still goes off. And there's, you know, I was thinking the other day, there's a lot of times I intend to get down on my knees and pray, and then I get busy. I'm at a certain time of this day, I'm going to get down on my knees and pray. And then I get busy doing something, and then I wake up and realize I haven't done that. We all get busy, and a lot of you are a lot busier than I am. But we need to keep in mind that we don't have any other chance here. We're on the way to either heaven or hell. Hopefully, we're on the way to heaven. But we don't have any other opportunity. We don't have any alternative. You know, we don't have another chance. So let's keep in mind that we need to do what God wants. We need to obey the Father and keep that in our thoughts and our minds probably more than we do. With that in mind, we're going to offer you the chance to become a member of the Church of Christ, to be baptized. We're going to offer you the chance to make right whatever it is you need to have help with. And we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.